Then the hadith, actually, the last line of the hadith, and we'll close on this line, is that وَفَتَرَ الْوَحِي. And then the wahi stopped. So there was a period of time after this first revelation, which is called the fatra. The fatra is the period of time that occurs between revelations. So after Isa alayhi salam received his wahi, all the way until the first wahi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's called the fatra, the period of time in which there is no revelation. In the same way, there was a fatra between the first wahi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the next wahi, which was actually a period of years. During this period of time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was quote-unquote disconnected from the wahi for just a few years, and then subsequently the wahi started up again. And what I want you to take home from this particular point is that in our iman, there are also periods of fatra. The iman is always the iman, but in the intensity of our iman, there will always be periods of fatra. So people come to me and they say, you know, I was still feeling so close to Allah in my salam, tears are dropping down my face, I have chills going down my spine, and all of a sudden it stopped. And the reason why is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two states that He always runs a Muslim through. One is qabd and one is basat. Basat is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expands His mercy upon a believer. And He allows them to experience the taste of the deen. And the reason why is so that that person can increase the intensity and depth of their ibadah. Then there's qabd. Qabd is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala retracts that feeling. And the reason for that retraction is a test for us. And the test is, are you worshipping Allah or are you worshipping your feelings of closeness to Allah? There's a huge difference. We don't worship feelings. We worship Allah. And people make this mistake. They'll bring things into the deen to spiritually develop themselves, which are not part of the sunnah, because it makes them feel closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the feeling doesn't count. It's the sharia that matters. The true sign of spiritual progress is not shivers going down your spine. It's not dreams of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not tears running down your eyes. Those are extra bonuses, but the reality is the true sign is that Allah blesses you with the sunnah and the sharia. If you see that you are now regular in the masjid than you weren't before, that's the sign of spiritual progress. If you see that you are more regular in your salah, that's the sign of spiritual progress. If you see that you're able to control your eyesight better, that's a sign of spiritual progress. These other things are part of your spiritual progress, but they're not necessities for spiritual progress. This is one of the biggest mistakes that people make in their spiritual pursuit. They chase feelings. They chase feelings, and the goal is not feelings. The goal is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sharia. The feelings are dhan. They're just your imagination of what's going on. The sharia is qat'i. It's certain. It's 100%. So in your spiritual progress, you can have feelings. You might experience deep, deep connection with Allah. You might see lights every time you close your eyes and remember Allah. You might see dreams of the Prophet ﷺ on a regular basis. Those are great, but they come hand in hand with istiqamah on the sharia. And this is the true sign of spiritual progress. That the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ come on your external and your internal. And that the sharia come upon in your life such that it becomes easy to perform good deeds. Now in this day and age, it's so easy to perform bad deeds. We're so ready. If I said to you, all of us, I said, you know, this class is too long, let's just put on a movie and we'll all watch it. For an hour and a half, the class seems difficult. People are fidgeting around, their knees hurt, they can't sit so long, they need to stretch. But if we put on a movie on a big screen with a proper surround stereo, everybody, an hour and a half later, people would be sitting like this in deep muraqabah, and they would say, whoa, the movie's over. It's an hour and a half? SubhanAllah, that's it? Whoa, an hour and a half went by like that. And that's because in this day and age, we've made it so easy to do things that are not beneficial for our spiritual progress. But in the same way, just as easy as it is for us to do that, it is easy to deeply attach yourselves to the Quran and prayer. That's how the Sahaba were. The Sahaba would enter into their prayer at the beginning of the night, they would finish the two rak'ah, and it would be time for Fajr. They would pray two rak'ah from the end of Isha to the beginning of Fajr, and then they would raise their hands and complain to Allah, oh Allah, you created the night so short. Just, they got so deep into their ibadah. They were so deep into their ibadah that this is how they interacted with the Qur'an and with Salah. And this is why the Prophet spends hours and hours in salah, his feet are swelling and he doesn't even recognize that his feet are swelling. And this is why you have companions, when they have wounds and they need anesthesia, they don't use anything physical. They go into salah and people are pulling daggers out from their body parts and they don't even feel that the dagger is being removed, because they were deep and intense in their ibadah. Just as it is difficult for people to wake up for tahajjud, there are certain people that it is difficult for them to not wake up for tahajjud. Their eyes just pop open and they can't help it. They get an hour of sleep and they say, SubhanAllah, I can't sleep anymore. There are people like that as well, because they've developed their iman and they've protected it. They've realized that it's a Mercedes and it should not be dented. And when it is dented, now you ask anybody who has a $50,000, $60,000 car, the second it gets dented, the next day they're in the shop and they repair their car. They repair it. My car, I said, it doesn't matter. I don't care. I can drive around with this dent because I'm going to drive this car into the ground. But if it's a $50,000, $60,000 Mercedes, the next day they're on the phone making an appointment to repair the slightest of dents. That's how the Sahaba were with their iman. The slightest of dent, astaghfirullah, and a tawbah. Astaghfirullah and tawbah is the body shop of our iman. That is what allows us to fix up the vehicle of our iman, and that's what allows us to re-beautify it. So I'm not saying you're not going to get into accidents. All of us will. And I'm not saying that iman won't get dented. It definitely will. What I am saying is that you've got to use the body shop when it happens. And the body shop in our case is istighfar and tawbah. So blessed be the companions who spread this message to us exactly the way that the Prophet ﷺ gave it to them. So this is what I wanted to say about wahi. I realize that we're ending a few minutes early, but inshallah we'll leave it open for questions, or you can take a break inshallah before the next session, because I realize how difficult it is to sit for hours on end and especially focus and concentrate on each individual lecture. So inshallah with that we'll close. I think the essential take home points from this particular hadith are: one, the need for khala. Each of us should have some period of solitude in our lives when we develop our iman. The need to also have a basic goodness within us of helping our relatives, of bringing together families, of earning for the destitute, of standing up for true causes. Also the need for an advisor, just as Khadija radiallahu anha took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Waraka for spiritual advice. In the same way, we should seek out advisors who can guide us and help us along our spiritual path. And the final is the essence of the fatrah, and how all of us will eventually go through that as part of our Islamic and spiritual development. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to develop ourselves in the best way. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.